Okay, today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin. Incredible. I mean, it seems like we just started. No, we're already holding on daf Ayin. Really amazing how much progress we make on this daf Yomi stuff. So anyway, we are want to start at the beginning of the sugya, which is the second of the large lines on Samach Tet Amud Beit, because we're about to get into the basis of the assumptions that were made in the Mishnah. So you'll remember that the Mishnah actually split the dinim into three separate categories, in which sometimes you'd be chayav once for Chilul Shabbos over the course of years, sometimes you'd be chayav for every single Shabbat, and sometimes you'd be chayav for every single melacha that you would do, not just on the Shabbat as a whole. What is the basis of all of this? I mean, because, first of all, I mean, it's important to figure out, how do we know that each melacha is considered to be itself a Chilul Shabbos? I mean, that we're taking for granted. And how do we know that Shabbos doesn't consist of keeping all of these shvitot, and Chilul Shabbos consists of unkeeping them? In other words, doing all of the things that would show that it's not Shabbat. But if you're like keeping some melachot and you didn't know about another one, maybe that's not really called a Chilul Shabbos. That too has to be considered. And then overall, we're going to need to consider, which we started thinking about, the overall relationship between the nature of Shabbat as an entity and the question of whether Shabbat and melachot are innately the same thing. In other words, is there a concept of Shabbat separate from the concept of not doing melacha on Shabbat? Well, we've already seen that we could have an idea called Shabbat when it comes to tchumim. But what does that say about the nature of what we think is what we know about Shabbat? When it says, lo ta'aseh kol melacha b'yom ha-Shabbat. I mean, like, that means Shabbat is one thing, and now that it's Shabbat, don't do melacha on yom ha-Shabbat. But what would Shabbat be if there was nothing that we could relate to in terms of Isser V'Hatter exactly? Would there be this concept of a spiritual Shabbat just in terms of the mitzvah taseh, and that would be sufficient to give us a din of Shabbat? I mean, we didn't think that before because we asked the Yodaleh B'Shabbat B'mai. We're going to have to go through all of these questions because they're all very basic assumptions that we've been making all along. And as usual, the Gemara starts from the less foundational issues, and then goes exactly as human development goes more and more to the foundational issues. So the less foundational issues, now it's a question of something which is basically almost logistics, it touches on the conceptual logistics here, is where we get the idea that each melacha would in fact, that's more foundational, where we get the idea that it's possible sometimes to be Mechal Shabbos in terms of the particular Shabbos, and sometimes to be Mechal Shabbos in terms of this concept called Shabbos, which is the Iker Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah started off with that difference, the difference between the case one and case two in the Mishnah. So, Minan Emile asks the Gemara, how do we know the difference between Ayodea Iker Shabbat and the original case where he was Shachach Iker Shabbat? Omrib Nachun Omer Abba Bavua. Look, there's two psukim. One of the psukim says, "V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat." Now, et ha-Shabbat is talking about a single idea called Shabbat, right? I mean, not "shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbatot." It's the concept of Shabbat. And on the other hand, it says, "et shabtotai tishmoru," referring to the actual days that we call Shabbat, of which there are many, as opposed to the concept we call Shabbat, which there is one. So therefore, if it says v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat, that would be referring to a single shmira, which would affect all of the Shabbatot that are coming. And that would mean that if I know the Iker of Shabbat, then I can deal with Shabtotai. But if I don't know ha-Shabbat, so then I don't know one thing. And therefore, there's two separate things. The care for one issue, as if it's all one Shabbat, and the care for each Shabbat, where the issue would be, I forgot that today is Shabbat. This is Reb Nachman's approach. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, I don't think that that's the right way to look at it. Now, that means that we're opening up right away the question about whether we should look at Shabbat as a concept in terms of Iker Shabbat, which is what exactly Reb Nachman and Rabbi Barvua were talking about. Shabbat is an idea. It doesn't have anything to do with Melachot, particularly about the fact that today is Shabbat. There's an idea called Shabbat. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, I wouldn't look at it in that way. I would say, basically, I mean, obviously the Pasuk is definitely coming to tell us the difference between a single concept of Shabbat and many Shabbatot. But it's not conceptual. It's telling us the difference between keeping a Shabbat and keeping Shabbatot. Therefore, I would say like this, the exact opposite. I would say, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. Look at the particular Shabbat that's in front of you, and look at that single Shabbat with an idea of keeping it. That Shmira Achat L'chol Shabbat V'Shabbat. Then if I'm telling you, keep my Shabbatot. Well, I mean, what do you mean my Shabbatot? Each one is different, isn't it? No. Keep my Shabbatot, because that would give you one Shmira for many Shabbatot. Now, that means that he's lowered the ante very much, Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because he's saying, don't look at it as the conceptual versus the actual. He's simply saying, look, there's a different way of relating to your local Shabbat and relating to all Shabbatot, which is a much simpler idea. And then we had the next issue. The next issue, of course, is the difference between Category 2 of the Mishnah and Category 3 of the Mishnah. So Category 2 of the Mishnah spoke about bringing a korban for each Shabbat that you were mechalel. Category 3 of the Mishnah was talking about where you knew it was Shabbat, but you forgot that the malacha was usher, and there you would bring a korban on every single malacha. And again, we're not going to go to the really fundamental question of who says that a single malacha is considered to be in and of itself a chilul Shabbos that's b'chayav achatas. We're sort of assuming that. We'll get to how we know that later. But assuming that, how do we know the difference between, since in the end you're both involved in the chilul Shabbat and in the malacha because it's the only way to do the chilul Shabbat. So how do we know that in the case where you forget the Shabbat, so over there, it's one thing, one korban. And if you forget each malacha, over there, each malacha has to be looked at as separate. This is interesting because it's true even it's Ba'alah Ma'achas, right? You didn't know anything else. It's not like you remembered anything else about Shabbat. Nonetheless, would all be, each malacha would be separate. So what exactly is the difference in terms of how you understand? We'll see later on, we base it on Pesukim, but we still are going to be needing our own understanding to define why it would be that in one case we would bring one chatas, and in another case we would bring separate chataot. So how do you explain that? Omrif Safra, well, I mean, look, basically the Torah says a person was unaware, and then v'nodalo chatato asher chata, right? But then you find out what you did wrong. So let me ask you something. When you find out what you did wrong, okay, what did you find out? Suppose somebody would have said to you, today is Shabbos. If you didn't know that any of these malachas are usher, you would have said, so. On the other hand, if he would have said to you, but this malacha is usher, so then if your problem was, you knew it was Shabbos, but you didn't know the malacha was usher, then what did you find out? You found out about the malacha. So then it's basically a question of what was the chet that you found out? So says Rav Safra, look, I mean, the difference is, kan midiyat Shabbat uporesh. If somebody says to you, hey, it's Shabbos, you say, oh my God, I thought it was Friday. On the other hand, if somebody says to you, hey, that malacha is usher, you say, oh my God, I thought it was mutter. So then that would be the idea of malacha. So kan midiyat Shabbat uporesh, v'kan midiyat malacha uporesh. Says Reb Nachman, that doesn't make any sense. If you're talking about what he knows, he has to know both in order for it to make any difference, right? I mean, he's not going to stop because you say, today is Shabbos. He's not going to say, oh my God, I thought it was Friday, unless he realizes that he's also doing a malacha. I mean, otherwise, what's the, oh my God? He'll say, oh, that's funny, I thought it was Friday. So basically, he's taking into consideration the fact that this is a malacha. When you tell him, hey, that's a malacha. So, it's only because he knows that it's Shabbos. that he's putting together those two items. So if you're referring to the knowledge base that he has needs to incorporate both items in both cases. What gives you the right, therefore, to say that we should focus on the idea? I would put it differently, because Amalei Reb Nachman, look, klum parish mishabbat ala mishum melachot, klum parish mishabbat ala mishum shabbat. I mean, he's got to put together those two things in his mind. It's completely artificial for you to start talking about what his idea was. I would say it's very simple. You're looking, basically, you're barking up the wrong tree. We should not be looking at the idea. We should be looking at the chait. Chait means missing the point, right? So when you're machati, you miss the target. That's called chitui. Okay, so you missed what point? That's what we have to look at. What did you forget, which was the point that you should have been remembering? Therefore, the korban, the chiev rachmana, amai. Why did the korban say you have to bring? The korban was not brought on the The korban was brought on the shagaga. So what was the shagaga? That's what we have to look at. And that's why I see you're barking up the wrong tree. You're trying to define the act. And I'm saying that if the Torah is mechalik, as we see later on in the pasuk, between different cases of where you bring the korban, the only way to understand that is to look at the relationship between the individual who did the act and the act. And that is a specific issue of what you forgot. And therefore, let's see how many forgettings you did. So if you forgot each malacha, then each malacha is a separate forgetting. One had nothing to do with the other whatsoever. How come you forgot that Borer was Aser? Hey, how come you forgot that Harisha was Aser? There's no connection between those two things. On the other hand, how come you forgot that today was Shabbos is one question. How come you forgot? Therefore, it's very, very simple. As long as you take for granted the important yesod, that a korban chatas is being brought on your mistake, on the shagaga. And therefore, when it comes to the forgetting of Shabbat, there was one item you forgot, chodesh gaga. On the case here, it's various different things that were forgotten. Each one has nothing to do with the other one, and hachatuva shigagot havya. Fine. Okay, so now we understand the differences between categories 1, 2, and 3 in the Mishnah. However, we need to look a little bit deeper now, because we've, all of this, of course, is based on a rather daring assumption that Chilul Shabbos consists of doing a particular malacha, any malacha. Now, that's something that to us doesn't sound very daring, because we grow up with that idea. Oh my God, don't do that. That's Chilul Shabbos. But how do we know that that's Chilul Shabbos? If, in fact, Shabbat is defined by the abstaining from all of these melachot, then it could be that the Chilul Shabbat is defined by doing all of the melachot. What makes you say that if you would do Chilul Shabbos in two different ways, that you would be chayev two? Maybe you wouldn't be chayev anything. Maybe if you were Mechal Shabbos in 38 ways, you wouldn't be chayev until you did all 39. I mean, after all, if the Torah would list a bunch of things that define Shabbat, we would never say that you'd be over if you just did one of them. So where does it come from? Chiluk melachot binalan. Where do we know that each melacha stands on its own as a separate chilul Shabbat? Omar Shmuel, look, we've got a two psukim basically. Omar kro mechalaleha mot yumat. So it says, how many times can you kill a guy exactly? What do you mean mot yumat? Kill him once, not kill him again? I mean, that would be quite a trick. And if it's telling me mot yumat, it certainly is not coming to tell me the Chiddush, that there's a Chiyuv Misa, because, I mean, that it says beferish in the Torah anyway. Besides mot yumat, it says kolo sebo belacha yumat, right? So I know that. What's this mechalaleha mot yumat? You can only kill him once anyway, so therefore, even though that's not really the diak, as Tosis points out, because I might have said, if I would have had another pasuk, I might have said that this is just Dibra Torah Kalashom Bnei Adam. Okay, but the fact is I have another pasuk that doesn't say Mot Yumat. It says Yumat. What is this coming to tell me? Therefore, it must be coming to tell me that you can die many times on one Chilul Shabbos. So, HaTorah Ripta Mitot Arbei Al Chilul Echad. What do you mean? But that's talking about Mazed. You can't die many times on... No, well, obviously, it has no meaning if we would apply it to Mazed. Therefore, we take the Mida in the Torah that is called Im Eino Inyan La X, Tneu Inyan La Y, And we'll say the Torah is using this as a way of talking about Shogeg. And what it's saying is, after all, it says, Kol Oseh Blacha Yumat, Tzneu Inyan LeShogeg. And therefore, we will say, okay, but I mean, it has to make sense on some level. If it says Yumat, I mean, you can only die once. How could it be referring to Shogeg? It says die, you don't die for Shogeg. It does have meaning, because Yumat can mean kill the guy by taking his money, meaning you're going to be b'chayev and b'chatas. And we will often do that. We'll exchange. Remember that the analog of money for life is something that the Torah uses all the time. The analog for money for an eye, the analog of money for a tooth, whatever. It's exactly the same thing. Imko for yushatalav, that's an analog of money for actual living. So that's what it means. Yumat means have him pay for a karba. And that would be ma yumat, yumat b'mamon. Okay, I mean, that's interesting, but what's really interesting is that Shmuel seems to have made this up out of whole cloth, because we do have a machlokas in actually among the Tanoim that appears all over the place about chiluk melachos, and how come Shmuel doesn't say what everybody knows, which is typically chiluk melachot meyechad nefik leilo Rabbi Natan? We have the famous question: why does the Torah say lo tevaru eish bechol moshvetechem biyom haShabbat? If it said beferish Shabbat yelachem kodesh kol oseh b'melacha, so what? Obviously, what do I got to talk about one particular melacha, about making a fire? I mean, you already said all melachot. So what's the point? Therefore, says Rabbi Natan, matamadoma. Because take a look at the information that is given to us about Shabbat. We know that there are 39 of these melachot. We know from the fact that it says, Vayakel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael, and Vayomer aleihem, Eile hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasot otam, when he's about to be mitzava on the Mishkan, Sheshet yamim tavod, Vayom hashvi'i tishbot, Becharish uvakatzir tishbot. Now, let's think about this, says Rabbi Nassim. Look, first of all, Eila HaDvarim, Sheshet Yamim, what is this Eila HaDvarim? And then you stop? Eila HaDvarim, I mean, we think we're about to listen to, okay, these are the things you got to do to build a Mishkan. I mean, I'm calling you together to speak about the Mishkan. Eila HaDvarim, Sheshet Yamim, B'yom HaShviti, what? Therefore, clearly, Eila HaDvarim has to be talking about what I'm about to tell you first, which is anything that's going to be Nogea the Mishkan is going to be Nogea your understanding of Shabbat, because that will define what Shabbat consists of and what you must not do in the Mishkan on Shabbat. Okay? How many of those things are you? Oh, Eila HaDvarim, a lot of things. Okay? So we have Devarim. I mean, you just say what not to do, right? No, I'm going to introduce it by saying, look, there's a lot of stuff here. You better get ready, take out your notebooks and write it down in your list of munachim, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, okay, how many lines do I need in my notebook? Eila HaDvarim. So we have Devarim. Okay, that's at least two things. HaDvarim are three things. And the Eila is those Devarim. And Eila is a gematria of 36. And therefore, put it all together, and we got 36 plus 3 equals 39. So you got to have 39 lines in your notebook, is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. So Eila Shloshim Metesha Melachot Shedem Rula Moshe Misinai. Now, you might think, Yochel Asan Kulu Bel Mecharenu Chayav Alacha, that if you did every single one of these melachos, you'd only have to bring one korban. Talmud Lomar, that's why it says, Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod, V'yom HaShvi'i Tishbot, Becharish Uvakatzir Tishbot. So if you're in the planting season, and the plowing season, or the gathering season, do B'Shvita. Now, why in the world do we mention separately the plowing versus the harvesting? Doesn't make sense. Didn't you already say that you can't do any melacha? Now, what we're doing here sounds like it's tangential, but it's not. What Reb Nosson wants to prove is that the fact that the Pasuk says, Becharishu v'katzir tishbot, is insufficient to show me that you would be chayev separately on each melacha. And that's why I am going to continue leading you on, says Rabbi Nosson, into understanding why I need the Pasuk of Lo Tevaru Eish Bechol Moshvetechem, which is what I began asking you. So, here's what I'm going to show you. First of all, you got to know there's 39 malachas, which means that we already know about Eish, okay? Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, don't try to say to me that Eish is mentioned separately so that I should know that there's a separate chiyuv on even doing a single malacha, because after all, Moshe Rabbeinu even said that at the time that he mentioned Eila HaDvarim. He said, Becharishu Bekatsir, right? So you're going to tell me, okay, from the fact that it mentioned separately Charish and Katsir, I now know that you'd be chayev separately on the Charish and on the Katsir. That proves that you're chayev on every single malacha separately. Wrong. Why is it wrong? Okay, I'll explain to you now. So you might think if you do all the malachas, you're only chayev one. Well, then why does it say Becharitzu and Katsir Tishbot? Ah, but I could still say to you, perhaps the Torah is defining two major malachot, which is Charisha and Kitsira. But that would be absolutely correct. If you did Harisha alone, you'd be Chayev. If you did Kitsira alone, you'd be Chayev. But if you did any other malacha without doing all of them together, besides the Harisha and the Kitsira, then you would only be Chayev one for all the rest. Now, I know you're going to ask me, what do you mean? Isn't there a general rule that once the Torah calls something a general rule, and then it mentions one thing separately, like Lo Tavaru Eish, that I can see from there that it was a davar sheyatza min haklal, and if something is yotze min haklal lalamed, lo lalamed al atzmo yatza, lo lalamed al klal kulo yatza. Anytime that we have a single pointing out a din of something that was part of a group, an entire set, then it's a din in the set and not in the member of the set. That is the general rule in the Torah. It doesn't apply here for two reasons. It doesn't apply because whenever you're dealing with sets and subsets, they have to be a member, obviously, of the same set. And over here, the set is about what not to do, not what yes to do. So the Becharish uVekatzir Tishbot is a beautiful set, but it has to do with a different set, which is different from the Lo Taaseh Kol Melacha. It's the set of all the nice things to rest from on Shabbos, which is not what we're talking about. Thank you very much. So you can't learn out to the set of Isurim from the set of the mitzvah of Menucha on Shabbos. That's number one. And even if it were part of the same set, and you want to argue that Shabbos simply consists of the same set that has a plus and minus sign, then that's all. So one would be the plus, would be the Shvisa, and one would be the minus, which would be the Isur of the Shmira. I could still tell to you that it's not going to be applicable over here for another reason. Because let's assume that it actually would be a Dover Shiyotze Min HaKlal. Why would we have two Dover Hayotze Min HaKlals? The whole point of a Dover Hayotze Min HaKlal is that we use a member to tell me the din of the set. But once you're talking about two separate members, then we run into another rule in the Torah, which is Shnei Ketuvim Aboim Ke'achadei Melamdim, which is certainly true about the idea of sets. We're not going to take out two things to teach something about the whole, so that's ridiculous. Therefore, I'm explaining to you, says Rabbi Nassim, it ain't going to help you. You thought you had it all worked out because of Becharish Ubekatzir. Alrighty, so now we're agreed that we have no way of knowing from this that you're chayev on each malacha. Now I'm going to tell you my massive, simple solution. And that's exactly why the Torah writes, Lo Tavaru Eish, a single example of a single malacha that is an iser, not a mitzvah, that is part of the set of don't do any malacha. And that's why it tells me about Eish, because now I know, just like Eish is a member of that set, and I'm chayev on it alone, that would be true of any member of the set. Talmud Lomar Lo Tavaru Eish, wasn't Tavora part of the klal? Why is it now mentioned separately? Because of the rule that it teaches the entire nature of the set. L'haki shelev alom malacha mahavara is an av malacha. You're chayev on it on its own. Anything which would be called an av malacha, you would be chayev on its own. Now, again, this doesn't mean it has to be the av. It just means that is a particular subset, but that's not simply another member of a subset. So it means the av and the malacha and the tolda of that av are not considered to be two separate subsets. That's the point that we're stressing over here, av malacha. So anyway, why doesn't Shmuel hold to that? I mean, that's like well established. Why does he look to this interesting diuk about the mot yumat and so on? I mean, well, Shmuel doesn't hold to Reb Nassim. Remember, there's a big machlokas about how to explain the pasuk of Lo Tavaru Eish. One man, the Amar, who is Reb Yossi, has a completely different explanation, and he's a Tana who argues in Rabbi Nazan, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says Havara is there not to tell me that here is an example of a set which is chayav on its own, but on the contrary, Havara is there to tell me that when it comes to Eish, which you might have made the mistake of thinking, wow, that's a biggie. On the contrary, you're not chayev karet and therefore chatat on Eish. It is different than all the other malachot, and it's not an example of the other malachot, because if it were an example, it would have said on it mot yumat, and it doesn't. It says lo tavaro Eish, which implies don't do it, but you would not be chayev karet or mot yumat if you did do it, ha-ha. So that would be exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Nosson is saying. It's coming the Tomila Lav Yatzati v'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Nosson, he was the one who said what we just went through. It's coming L'Chalek Yatzat. I don't have to listen to Rabbi Nosson if I've got Rabbi Yossi on my side. Excuse me? You've got Rabbi Yossi on your side? Okay, if you've got Rabbi Yossi on your side, then why the heck don't you learn it the way Rabbi Yossi learns it? Rabbi Yossi didn't come up with your mot yumat jazz. Rabbi Yossi has his own basis for teaching me the din of Chiluk Melachot. Why didn't you say what he said? D'Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, fascinating pasuk. Rabbi Yossi does not go into the dinim of Shabbat, qua Shabbat, to tell me the halacha of shkuga on separate malachas. He goes to the pasuk that deals with the concept of chataot in Vayikra. And what it says over there is, Daber al b'nei Yisrael lemor, nefesh ki techeta bishkaga, mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo te'asena. Now dig these words. V'asa me'achat mehena. Who? Me'achat mehena? What does that even mean? From one from these. What's from one from these? Why don't you just say v'asa achat? And he did one. One of all the things that we've been talking about until now. Kol mitzvot Hashem. He did one. Okay, so he did one. Asher lo te'asena, he did one. That means that we have two things that are very troublesome over here. First of all, the entire word of Hena doesn't belong here. And it certainly did not need to say me'achat at all. So what's the whole business over here? Taina is Rabbi Yossi like this. What we have here are separate drushes. First of all, it says me'achat. It certainly could have said achat. And even if you'll explain Hena, I mean, what this whole word me'hena doesn't make any sense. And therefore, I tell you like this. Look. What you're going to have to say is, the general klal over here is, asa me'achat me'ena, the simple meaning is, we're talking on the one level about one thing, and on the level, another level about a bunch of things. Heina are a bunch of things. Achat is one thing. Now, what that comes to tell me is that sometimes you're going to be chayev on an achat, and sometimes you're going to be chayev on heina only one. And therefore, what you see from here is that the chatas that the Torah is talking about is sometimes achat, even though there were heina, and sometimes it's heina, where you're chayev al kol achat v'achat. Says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, let me explain to you the entire drush of Rabbi Yossi, because he hasn't really given you enough information for you to understand where he's coming from. He's basically darshaning every last aspect of the extras over here. First of all, achat, it could have said, it says me'achas heina, which could have been said, it says mehena, which also is the juxtaposition of two words, of achas mehena, one next to each other, which really seems weird. And therefore, I darshan achat shehi hena, and hena shehi achat. Let me explain to you from the beginning. When we say achat mehena, it means something that is part of one, me'achat. You only did part of one thing. How could you only do part of one thing and still be chayev? Well, let's imagine a case where a guy is writing a letter to Shimon, and the words in the letter are Shimon Hayakar. Now, he starts writing this letter on Shabbos, forgetting that it's Shabbos, and he writes Shin Mem, it's Shabbos. We say to him, it's too late, buddy. You wrote Shin Mem. And what if you were writing this letter to Mr. Shame Hayakar, huh? And then Shame would have said, shame on you, it's Shabbos. So you would have already been Michal on Shabbos. So you see from here, if you wrote Shame Mishimon, you're already over on a Chol Shabbos. Okay. Then it says a group, Hena. What are Hena? Hena means that there are avot. And achas means that you've got something that are mehena. Mehena doesn't mean one out of, it means out of in the sense of conceptually out of. How does something become many? By spawning as a father, toldot, which are descendants. Exactly. So your avtipus, your prototype, is the spawner of all of the subsets. Exactly. So mehena would mean what we're talking about over here is a group of things that also have subsets associated with them. That's his other drasha. Okay, then the fact that we put these two strange words together, me'achat mehena, also tells me that sometimes we look at the achat of the hena, and sometimes we look at the hena of the achat. How do we do that? Well, you've got an achat, which could actually be hena. What would that mean? Well, it would mean you don't know about the various malachas, even though you know that at Shabbos, you know all about Shabbos. All of a sudden, your Chilul Shabbos translates into a bunch of different karbanas, one for each malacha. So that would be a zdon Shabbat and shigigah malacha. But sometimes you've got a hena, which is only achas. You did a lot of Chilul Shabbos, but only one thing. What would that be? That would be the case where you've got hena shiachat. You forgot it was Shabbos, but you knew that this was a malacha. Over there, you would bring only one karban. So come on, Shmuel. Why didn't you learn it out from there? That sometimes you bring one carbon on many things, and sometimes you bring many things only on one Shabbat. Shmuel says, look, I'm very impressed with the Me'achat business, and I'm very impressed with the Mehena business. I am not impressed. I'm trying to make a diuk out of putting the two words together, Achat Mehena. I mean, that, to me, is not extra. It's just a weird way of saying one of the above. You can't make a diuk out of the juxtaposition per se, which is why I needed to go to my own special way of learning, which is the mot yumat. Now, Tosis points out, how the heck does Shmuel come off arguing with all the Tanoim? I mean, that's taking a pretty big stand, both against Rabbi Nosson and against Rabbi Yossi. Tosis says, look, it's obvious that Shmuel had this bekabola from his Rebbe and understood that this was a third approach, yet from the time of the Tanoim, he wasn't coming to argue on his own, on Reb Yossi and Reb Nosson. So we have three different ways of learning out the concept of chiluk milachot. Later on, Daniel, we're going to talk about what exactly is considered to be the meaning of Shem Mishimon. It turns out that that is a very complex sugya, and as Tosis points out over here, it was a little misleading for us to say Shem Mishimon, particularly Alib Reb Yossi, because Reb Yossi holds that any type of inscription is considered to be writing. You don't need to write a Shem Mishimon for it to be meaningful, but we'll get to that later. Now is not the point. Okay. Boimine Rav Amira Nachman. So this touches now on the underlying question of the interrelationship between Shabbat and the Melachot. I mean, because, look, it's all very nice to say you can focus on the mistake. Okay, I understand that. You can focus on the mistake. But I mean, forgetting about focus, you know what? I'll tell you how to forget about focusing on the mistake. Suppose you forgot both. Suppose you forgot it was Shabbos, and you forgot that this was Malachas, okay? So now forget about what the mistake was. Now, so now there's some underlying connection over here of the nature of the Malacha to the nature of Shabbos. So let me start off easy by asking you, what would you say about a case where you forgot that it was Shabbos, and you also had never learned that these Malachas were us? So what would happen then? So, let's start off with the question of Helem Zev Zeb Yado Mao. Well, Rav Nachman said to him, look, I mean, obviously, you look for the subsuming error. The subsuming error would be the fact that it's Shabbos, and that would have included every one of the malachas anyway. Well, I don't know, says Rav. I mean, you could say the other way. You could say the bottom line is that even if he would have known it was Shabbos, it wouldn't have made any difference because ultimately he had no idea that anything that he was doing was wrong. So maybe you should say the Hela Melachot Biyado and Yischayav HaKol Achat V'Achat. Says Rav Ashi, okay, there's a practical way out of this. Practical way out of this is to see what the stimulus was that ends up preventing him from doing it now again. So did somebody say to him, hey, it's Shabbos, and then he stopped doing it, so then it must be the Shabbos is the important point, and he'd only be chayav one. If somebody said to him, hey, that is usher, that's a malacha, So then, obviously, his problem is the malachas, and therefore he's chayev on each one separately. Again, points out Rav Ina to Rav Ashi, what we said on Ahmed Aleph on a conceptual level, that even on a practical level, this doesn't make any sense. Because all that you've done with the stimulus is brought back his memory of two issues. Right? In other words, when you say that's a malacha, say, okay, so if you're saying it's a malacha and he stops, it's because malacha, malacha equals Shabbos. Shabbos and malacha together are no good. And if you tell him it's Shabbos, you say, oh, that's nice, I'll have some cholent. But instead he stops writing. Why does he stop writing? Well, because Shabbos means don't do malacha. So what that means is that there's some type of innate confusion that we've got over here between what does Shabbos mean as a Shabbos and what does Shabbos mean as not doing malacha. You cannot artificially distinguish between them just because of the stimulus. Now, Tosis points out that this approach, which is Rashi's approach, seems to be nonsensical no matter how you look at it. Because why would the particular stimulus be proof of concept? Since you have no way, there's no control. You have no way of knowing what would have been if the guy wouldn't have said, hey, it's Shabbos. And instead he would have said, hey, that's a malacha. How do you know that that wouldn't have been just as stimulating in terms of stopping what you're doing? You can't use that as a proof. Therefore, Tosfos says, we're not, obviously not talking about the case of Rashi, where you actually did have a stimulus. But what we're talking about over here is asking the person to look into his own psychology and see which one would have been more active than the other. Suppose someone would have told you it was Shabbos, would you have stopped? I don't think so, because, I mean, I never knew that was awesome. Okay, suppose somebody would have just told you that's a malacha. Would you have stopped? Yeah, I guess I would have figured if it's a malacha, I would think about Shabbos and realize it was Shabbos. Okay, so then it would, but that would mean, of course, and this Tosfos admits, that Rav Ashi is not giving you an overall useful modality of deciding what to do, because the guy could obviously say, I don't know, I wouldn't have stopped for either of them. I mean, somebody would have had to tell me Shabbos and the malacha. I mean, therefore, all that Rav Ashi is saying, according to Tosfos, is sort of a laconic statement, which is, well, sometimes you could know. Okay. Which is obviously why it is that Rashi didn't like that particular approach. Sometimes you could know if the guy's got a clear estimate of his own psychology, which anyway is not generally the way we deal with the determination. Okay, in any event, so this doesn't seem to work no matter how you look at it, because all it's doing is activating two different aspects of what your neurons are going to connect together, and therefore you'll end up acting on it. So why would one be primary? Therefore, I would say it makes no difference. You will always look to the conceptually subsuming aspect. The subsuming aspect would be the one issue of Shabbos, and therefore that would be the thing you'd bring it on. But this whole thing doesn't make any sense. And that's why we really introduced it, because it's begging the question again of the interrelationship between Shabbat and the Malachot. Because consider the following, which we already did once. You've got a Mishnah that lists 39 Malachas. Tanan, Avot Malachot Arba'im Chatzrachas, okay? And again, why do we list the number? Why don't we just tell you the Malachas and let us count it up ourselves? So we asked that. Minyan Olamali. Rabbi Yochanan said the point of the Minyan is to let you know that it is possible as a maximum within one Ha'alama to be Chayef 39 times. Once we start talking about what you find out and what you've done, that then already it's infinite. But if you didn't hear anything the whole day about the nature of what you're doing, you could be Chayef a maximum of 39 Malachas. Now, Iyamit Bishlema Helam Zebezeb Biyodo Chayef HaKolachas V'yachas. And now let me ask you something. If you're going to tell me, in the issue that we just raised, not like what you claimed, not that we should look at the subsuming issue, but that even if I don't know a darn thing about Shabbos, I would still be chayev on each one of these malachas, even if I don't know any of these malachas or us or on Shabbos, I still forgot Shabbos. And nonetheless, I'm going to be chayev on each malacha, not like you said that I'll only be chayev one on Shabbos. Then this makes sense. Because if I ask you, well, why are you chayav on each malacha? because that was my shogeg. I forgot each melacha. But if you hold that what you just claimed, which is if you forgot it was Shabbos, then you'd always be chayav only once, even if you also forgot the melachas, how did you over here end up being chayav on all of the melachas since you obviously didn't know it was Shabbos? Because you didn't know anything was usher on Shabbos. So how did you know it was Shabbos? So then, by definition, you'll never get to a case where you could be chayav 39 separate korbanos, because if you did all 39 melachas, then you have the subsuming problem of Shabbos, and that's going to pot to you from anything except the one. So now I've got you into trying to tell me the conceptual issue of Shabbos versus the reality of Shabbos in terms of melacha. Because if there's no applicability of an idea called Shabbos in any melacha, so then you should always be chayev one carbon on all 39 melachas. Now note that this also raises the question of, and furthermore, what would be the difference between category one of the Mishnah, where you don't even know the concept of Shabbos, and this case, where we're claiming that you just forgot that today was Shabbos, if ultimately you really don't know the concept of Shabbos, because you don't know that any malachas are asur. So that there's a hidden issue that's being brought up over here. What concept of Shabbos? But it's easier. Tosfos deals with that problem. Okay? Tosfos says there's still going to be a difference between somebody who's Yodea Iker Shabbos in this case. Why? The difference is very simple, says Tosfos, because if you once knew of the Iker Shabbos, as opposed to a Tinak Shenishba, then if we remind you, you'll remember. Masha Ein Kein, it won't help to remind you if there was no Yodea ever of an Iker Shabbos. So that's enough of a distinction between category one and category two. But what's the distinction here between category two and category three? It's always going to be a category two issue, and therefore you should always be bringing only one carbon, not 39. Now listen, I agree that there's a simple way out of this, which is that if you hold of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you would be bringing 39 separate chataot, even if you knew that every single malacha was usher, but you didn't know that you're chayav koras on the malacha. Okay, then the answer is obvious. You knew it was Shabbos. You're not allowed to do these malachas. Yes, but you didn't know that you're chayav koras. So then, fine, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense. You'd have a maximum of 39 times that you could bring the korban for not knowing it was koras. And you did know, however, it was Shabbos, because you knew about the Yisr Lav. All right, that's fine. So, Hanichi Savlak Rabbi Yochanan Donar Kimish Shogar Bekaret Afagav Shizi Belav. So then it's easy. So then we'd be talking about that the idea over here would be you knew it Shabbos. What if you were like Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish says you'd have to be a complete ignoramus. You don't know that there's a lav. You don't know there's a chorus. Then how do you know that it's Shabbos? You can't get me yet because I've always got my way out. You knew it was Shabbos because of the Yisr Tchumim. And maybe it's going on the Alibid Rabbi Akiva. So we did that before. So the Yodala B'tchumim, V'alibet Rabbi Akiva. So the concept called Shabbos could still be related to the practical question of, and therefore what? In terms of Isser. And that would be Tchumim. Okay. So this is great. Now we've got more exciting questions coming up that bring us into a whole new issue, Mitzvah Shabbos. And there's a lot to look forward to. So I'm sure that will lend much flavor to your Shabbos, as if one could lend more flavor to the challah that's already there with that special tavlin. But you never know.